Yes, and I even spoke with some friends.
Come closer.
So you spoke with some friends about first discussions we had. So they were very interested as well. So it's between us we have some questions, and it's quite difficult to, I think, in very short time to ask questions about Buddhism. I think I will try to read the book first, and but he would also be interested, one of my friends, to eventually even come to the sense of it that it's possible.
That's always possible.
For a couple of days. And
It's always possible. And it's better. If you come to a temple, you know, this is not, you know, I mean, you don't get the atmosphere of the temple. You don't see the peacefulness.
How long you have been in this monkhood? How long have you been in this monkhood?
18 years. But if there is a question that that is burning your heart, you know, then just ask it. You don't very often have the opportunity.
You just started Buddhism, or?
Yeah.
No, but yes, I haven't even started. I mean, if you want to, last time you said that you have to look into yourself first before you want others to change. What is the best way to do so is via meditation. So the first step is to start to learn how to meditate.
The first step is to learn how to meditate, but I would say learn how to meditate. Learn how to be aware of what is going on. The best thing is how to learn it is with the meditation of Buddha, or, you know, observing the breath at the tip of the nose. Just getting rid of all the thoughts.
Is that what you call stillness? Can I say stillness?
Samatha.
Yes, it's stillness. That's what he said.
Yeah. The first thing is samatha. To develop sati. The sati is awareness.
Sati is awareness.
Yeah. I mean, they're often translated as mindfulness, but mindfulness is not the right thing. Mindfulness is very subjective. Awareness is completely objective. Awareness is just aware, it doesn't judge things. Mindfulness, you know, is aware, but it judges things. That means, you know, I mean, sati is already, you know, together with greed and hate. So, but we want the sati, you know, this just this pure awareness. That's what we need. Once we develop it, then we think about our life. Just the question that I asked them. There are three things that are very, very difficult to reach. What are three things that are very difficult to reach? It's a human life. To be born as a human being is very difficult. Now, in this life, we've got it. The next thing, what is very difficult, even if we are born as a human being, to find the religion that tells us why we are born, you know, what is happening. The sasana, the religion, the Buddhist religion that tells us how to behave and what to do. And the third thing that is very difficult, now you just came into contact. The third thing that is very difficult is to find somebody who has gone this path, just like the Buddha who is teaching the path, or who has gone this path at least to a certain step. That means noble beings. And if you find all these three in this life, I mean, then you have enough merit from your previous lives to find this. And then you have to choose, you know. I mean, these three things, you don't know if you find them in the next life. So make the most of this life.
But if you don't have enough merit from your previous lives,
you will never meet that. That's the problem. You can only then start, you know, to making the merit. Just like building the road towards, you know, towards your goal. But because you have some, otherwise you wouldn't have met me. No. That's why you already have some. That means, you know, I mean, you have to make the most out of it. Try to develop the road further. That means for you, you know, start practicing a bit. Get interested a bit. Why am I born? And the question that I always ask myself, who the hell tells me to like this and not like that? Who is that person, you know, that is in my head, you know, who tells me all these things? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. I don't like this, I don't like that. Who the hell is this person? Because I know somebody tells me that I should do this. So who is that who is that person that knows? And who is the person who tells me? You heard of Goethe, you know? He says, you know, there are two souls inhabiting my chest. One is the darkness, one is the light. I mean, you're probably familiar with Faust, or? Or at least you heard about it. Yeah, or you heard that saying. It's the same thing. There are two forces within our heart. There's the Dhamma in our heart, and there's the darkness, you know, the evil. And there's constantly fighting. So, I mean, if you ask yourself, who is the one, you know, who tells me all these things? But because people do not reflect, they think they are these thoughts. But ask yourself, does a thought know it's a thought? What you see, you know, do your eyes understand what they see? Do they know that they are actually seeing? Does a memory know it's a memory? I mean, who? Who is in there that knows that there is a thought, that there is a feeling, even that there is a body? The body doesn't know it's a body. The body just, you know, it's a thing, it's a phenomenon, just like this glass. The glass doesn't know it's a glass. We define it as a glass. The citta there, or you can, you know, if you're familiar with Christian terminology, you can call it something soul, it's similar. The soul knows this is a glass, the soul knows this is the body, and it's attached to this body. Just like people in Europe attached to their house or to their furniture and their buildings or their computer or their work or whatever.
Sorry, how do you call the soul in Buddhism?
Citta.
It's chitta. That's your soul.
That's Thai. Yes. Citta is Pali.
Yes.
And the soul is the thing that goes, you know, from one life to the next. Actually, it's not the soul, you know. I mean, there is... But that is too complicated. Mm-hmm. Because what goes is karma. But you just take it easy. I mean, you read the book and you start a little bit of meditation, you know, and see. I mean, there's one thing, you know, I mean, especially for the Europeans, or for the Westerners. I mean, you notice God. I mean, you're an educated person, I think. You're an engineer?
No, I'm an economist.
Economist, yeah. But anyway, you had to go through high school, so I mean, you heard of Descartes. Cogito ergo sum. I think also that's why I am. So we stop the thinking. And then we will experience something that is beyond thinking. When we don't think, what is that? It's just the experience. In this experience, you know, there's nobody that tells us this is like this, this is like that. But there's something that knows all these things. And it's wonderfully peaceful. And each one of us, you know, especially also when we come from the West, but also the Thai, everybody is looking for happiness. Now tell me, where does happiness arise? In the glass of wine or alcohol or in the food, you know? Where does happiness arise? When you investigate the food, when you dissect the food, you know, give it to lab, you know? They don't find happiness in there. So where does it arise? It arises here in the heart. But anger also arises here in the heart. Greed arises here in the heart. So the moment we look at the heart, we will find all these things there. When we stop our thoughts, we will find happiness or peacefulness or calmness. It's all there. You don't have to go anywhere. People, I'm not so familiar because I'm 25 years out of this world. but I heard, they have now meditation in business and administration and things like that, courses, for managers, and happiness arises here, calmness arises here. Everything is here. It starts here. We don't have to go to these courses. We don't have to go there, to a special place. If you just go in our citta, we find everything is there. But of course we find also the things that we don't like, that we try to escape. Now you build a house, and over the 50 years, you're 40 or something, over the 40 years, everything that you didn't like, you put in the attic. Now you come to a religious man and he tells you, open up your attic and get rid of it because it smells and stinks. No. Once you get rid of it, all the smell that constantly bothers you, everything that is in your heart and that constantly bothers you, that you just didn't want out, you open, you see it and get rid of it. And then suddenly, your heart is free and empty.
Yeah, it's something I need to think of because in my idea, when you live in this world, you need to accept things that you don't like, and you need to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you can get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. No, but you can get rid of the thoughts
that you don't like it.
That you don't like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people in this world try to perfect this world. We tried, with the Green Movement, before that came the Peace Movement, then the Green Movement. First it was the Student Revolution, I went through all of it. Then it was Greenpeace, We tried to make the world a better place. But in all these cases, we ask other people to make it a better place. We tell the factories, to produce. We tell the government to do things. But we never change ourselves. So Buddhism tells you, change yourself. And then, this world is actually a peaceful place. But people can't see it because of their inner turmoil. Do you know a slide projector?
Sorry.
Slide projector?
Yeah.
You project something on a white wall. Now, if there's no slide in and there's a person at this white wall, you see that person in every detail, every aspect. Now, put a slide in. And then look at the person. You will see all sorts of things that are not actually there once you put the slide on. You understand?
Yeah, I'm getting it. That's a very good explanation.
And that is when the slide is in our citta. That slides are all our ideas, all our imaginations, all our expectations, everything that we dream of. Whenever we see a person, we see that slide projected on this person. That's why we hate it. We see our innermost self in that person. And that's what we hate. We don't like to admit that we have it in ourselves. So, sometimes I say, look at the world as the mirror of yourself, and you will see all the ugly things that are in your heart. If you don't have ugly things in your heart, you are not perturbed by anything. That's the way, That's why we want to make this, you know, the heart free of all these things, so that there is no more slight or just white light, where we see persons as they are. And there's nothing that we like about this person, and there's nothing that we dislike about the person anymore. Because we have removed the likes and dislikes from our heart. So how can there be anything that we like and dislike? That's how you make the world. I mean, people try to change the world. I mean, the world goes the way the world goes, you know. Once you understand, I mean, the world is the perfect place. You don't even need to perfect it; it's perfect. But we don't understand the rule that is governing this world. We think we can change things that makes us so conceited. The only thing that we can change is ourselves, our attitude towards it, our habits, our character, our behavior. That's the only thing we can change. We cannot change the things outside. People love to do it. The more they do it, the more they get into trouble. Atomic energy and things like that. We get only into trouble with this. If you would live, you know, like farmers 500 years ago, I mean, our environment, you know, we would all live healthy. You know? Now we all have all these poisons that we produced ourselves in our body, you know, and we get sick and ill, you know, because of.
But you do have people that can have a big impact by trying to change something. For example, Nelson Mandela, who just passed away.
Yes. But he was peaceful. And Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi. But how did he change? By changing himself first.
Yeah, like Mandela, he was in the prison for a long time, and I think he changed himself quite a bit.
I mean, he was peaceful. He was never aggressive. I don't know about Mandela, but Mandela. I don't think he was aggressive. I mean, if he was aggressive, he will not change anything. Only if a person is understanding. And that was Mahatma Gandhi. You know? I mean, there's a nice story about Mahatma Gandhi. You know, I really like it. You know, a mother, because you know, when he was famous, I mean. A mother came to him, you know, with her son. And then she told, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, please tell my son, he's constantly eating this chocolate, you know, to stop it. Stop eating this chocolate, it's not good for his health, you know, I mean, he ruins his body, you know, with this, no? What did Mahatma Gandhi tell her? You know? Come back in 1 week. So, 1 week later, the woman came. With the boy together, and Mahatma Gandhi said to the child, stop eating chocolate. Then the mother said, why did you send me back, you know, 1 week, you know? I mean, I was eating myself chocolate. How can I tell somebody else not to eat chocolate if I still eat it? Now, because of that, I stopped it, you know, and now I can tell this boy, you know, to stop it as well. That is the great people. A person who does everything himself that he asks others. Keep this in mind, this story is really good. And it's easy to remember. We can only ask, you know, other people to let go of something, you know, if we have done it already. And people can't do it, you know, because it's so difficult. It's so easy, you know, to ask your wife to be patient. You know? But, you know, if you do it yourself, you know, you see, it's not easy. You know? But we always assume, you know, to telling other people, you know, do this and do that, you know, then you will be happy. But we are unhappy. How can we tell other people, you know, how to reach happiness if we are unhappy? And especially, you know, I mean, the Germans are famous for telling other people what to do. But I think the Belgium and the French are not better. Not much better in this respect.
French, we criticize a lot. Yeah.
Are you French? Oh, okay.
So change yourself and you will change others. Mahatma Gandhi wouldn't be that great a person, you know, if he would be aggressive. But how did he succeed? With peacefulness. And, you know, with just presence. He was just present. I mean, millions of people were just present. And the English, you know, still shot at them. Because that made them angry, because they didn't do anything, you know, to rectify. And that upset the world. And that's how they drove out the English. Just being present. If you know, if you see a monk, you know, coming in shouting, you know, the government is bad, they should change, you know. I mean, who would respect a monk? If I have attained peacefulness, you know, then I can teach you how to get to peacefulness. Because through my own experience, I can tell you how to get there. And I can only teach you what I have already reached. Same principle. And that makes sane people. But you looked at, you know, looked at the leaders of the world. There are good people in the world, you know, who are not religious, and there are good people, you know, who are religious teachers. I mean, the moment you start getting into the religious world or in the spiritual world or however you want to call it, you will see great people. People, you know, who did, you know. For instance, every one of you knows Lungta Mahabo. He helped Thailand out of the economic crisis by telling the Thais to help themselves. And he was the head of it. He was just, you know, the one governing. I mean, look at the world. If you find anybody, you know, who has collected within 6 years' time 10 tons, not 10 kilograms, 10 tons of gold. And I don't know how many Betlanlan baht. And an amount, you know, $10 million and how many million of baht. Just collected for the Thais. He just took for the Thais to give to the Thais, but to give to everyone. I mean, you probably haven't read about it, but even that spread out to the at least BBC and some of the news, you know, covered it, you know, a little bit, you know. One monk in Thailand, you know, collected. And that helped Thailand out of the economic crisis. Because he said if the Thais don't have anything to eat, they will not be, you know, they will have no faith in the sasana. So he made sure that the Thais have something to stand on. Same as the Lord Buddha, there's one sutta, you know. The Lord Buddha was just starting to give a talk. And two people, you know, coming from far away, were running up, you know, and trying to sit down and listen to the talk. The Lord Buddha didn't start his talk. He told them, give them some food, because they are hungry. Once they eat it, then they will be satisfied and can listen to what I have to say. If we are hungry, we don't listen. We want to get rid of this unpleasant feeling of hunger. So if we are worried about our economic future, we won't listen to the religion. Because that is the foremost in every human being, you know, to look after his bodily needs. Once the bodily needs are satisfied, then he will listen to spiritual. You understand?
I
have not. Huh?
I have not.
Okay.